The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Oh my, humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I still haven't figured that out. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. Everything you need to know right here. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here it is right now. Heading into a new year, what is our big, big expectation for this year? If you don't have one, you should have one. If you have one, here's the question that goes along with it. Are you really believing God for it? Ooh. Tough right there. Here it is in a nutshell. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person that you can count on.
Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday. Happy 2024.
Happy 2024 to you, my friend. Happy Tuesday. Of course, we'll be doing Jake's Take later on. Lots to discuss there. We'll see if the Lord will rapture me by then. That would be just fine. Well, we'll discuss that later. Bottom line is simply this. Maybe you've got a praise report or a prayer request. So a lot of people have been on vacation a few extra days over the last couple weeks. Maybe the Lord did something with you while you were doing your devotions, and you caught something you never caught before. Let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, listen to this saying. In the kingdom of God, some things are better caught than taught. Did you hear that? Some things are better caught than taught. Not everything you get comes directly from a teaching. Sometimes it's something the Lord shows you and you go, oh, man, and you pick up on it. I'm like, wow. That's the kind of thing. If you had something like that happen, hey, share it with us. We love hearing about stuff like that. It's great to hear the things that God is doing. It not only reinforces your own testimony, but it blesses other people who hear it. It enables them to trust in the Lord. It encourages them to recognize that God is active. And those type of blessings, those type of opportunities are important to share with one another. It's actually part of the requirements within Scripture for us to encourage one another. Additionally, if you've got a prayer request, you got stuff going on and it's like, Dave, it's against the wall. It's just, I just don't have an answer for it. I don't know how to get the solution to it. It's getting way past me, and it's getting super frustrating. Then let's pray about it. The best thing you can do in your life, for the rest of your life, between now and when the trumpet of Jesus Christ blows, the best thing you can do is have more of the Lord. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what academia says. It doesn't matter what Hollywood says. It doesn't matter what the politicians say. None of them have the favor that the true believer has. And it's simply this reason, simply this. They are looking to be honored amongst men. We are seeking to honor and be honored from the Lord. That's the difference. And so in that, if you've got something you need to petition, let's petition. Let's take my faith, your faith, everybody's faith, Jacob's faith. We'll bring it all together and we'll pray and ask God to help, because that's a brilliant idea. Additionally, if you don't feel like calling, you know you can text. The text number here, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. First non-professional voice for the text in the year 2024. Here it goes.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It does work. I have a Chromebook. It's not great, but it works. It gets emails, and that's important. You can just send it to david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at the A with the goofy thing, hemustincrease.org. Got that going on? Lot to cover, and you have to be involved today, because there is something very important that you are going to decide. What? Just a minute. First and foremost, I hope everybody had a very nice Christmas time. I hope you had a wonderful New Year's time. I spent the majority of my time, 17 hours, writing up receipts for everybody who gave throughout the year. All of everybody's receipts everywhere will be sent out in the next 2 weeks. We won't talk about the football yet, but I even was supposed to have recorded the game, got my receipt work done, then went to watch the game and found out I did not record the football game. So I just looked at my wife, smiled, and just did more receipts. Okay, so anyway, that's what happened. It was like, and all these people texted me. It's like, I'm not going to look, right? And then I went to go watch the game. I forgot to record it. So I thought that was rather funny. Not the worst thing in the world. Here's something you got to help on. Let's get ready for this. We're going to get into the teaching in a split second, but I want you to understand something. In about 5 weeks, we're going to be finishing 2 Corinthians. Maybe about 6 weeks from now, we're going to finish 2 Corinthians. And I am now trying to decide what is the book that will replace it. So on the table is either, get ready, Judges, Daniel, Revelation, or Jude. One of those four books will be the replacement. Judges, Daniel, Revelation, or Jude. You have the opportunity to communicate that either when you call in or when you text in or when you email in, trying to pick which book will be next. You have been warned prior that if we end up doing Revelation, I am not teaching one school of thought. That just means there's a lot that will go into it. So you have been warned, okay? All that aside, we want to go to the Word of God. First thing we want to recognize, where we pretty much left off and where we need to pick it up again, we are in Matthew chapter 15, and we are at that point where the disciples and Jesus are again in a situation where they need a miracle. At least the disciples are not aware that the miracle is coming. Of course, Jesus is. And so here we're going to pick it up again. We're going to pick it up from verse 32 in chapter 15, and that says the following. That Jesus called the disciples to him and said, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. He said, I don't want to send them away hungry or they will faint along the road. The disciples replied, and where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness to feed all these people? So what we talked about 2 weeks ago is understanding that in this text, they are not in the same situation as the 5,000 being fed besides women and children. In this particular text, they're in the wilderness. There is no fast food. There is no mall. There's no food court at the mall. There's nothing. It's not that they didn't bring food out with them. They brought food out with them, but after being there for a couple of days, they run out of food. And so here they are in that situation again, very similar, yet a little different. Here's what I want you to catch as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. In your life, your trials that you go through, your challenges, your test of faith, have a lot of similarities, but a little different. So have you ever noticed that sometimes when the Lord requires patience out of you, you have a very similar trial, but it's not exactly the same, but boy, it's really kind of close, and it's a perfect example for you to see every genuine Bible-believing, born-again Christian goes through this same process where the trial or the testing of our faith is really close. Maybe not exactly the same. It's got about a lot of flavors or ingredients that are right up there with the rest of them. So the disciples are replying, where are we going to get enough food out here? There's nowhere to give food. What are we going to do? This is terrible. Now, here's the one thing. What's the one thing that the disciples are not considering at this particular time? They're not considering that it wasn't that long ago that Jesus fed 5,000 besides women and children. Why is that important? It's very important for you and I to understand that we have a tendency to forget what the Lord has done. Don't try and be overly righteous. Don't try and be overly spiritual. Don't try and defend yourself. There's no, I don't know why anybody would want to try and defend themselves before the Lord. You saw what happened with Job. That's a no-win situation. Here's how it goes. The Lord has done marvelous things for you and I. He has delivered us time and time and time again. Then we get into that situation and we go, you know, I know you did this before. But, I mean, how can you possibly do it again? Yet they had just not that long ago experienced Jesus manifesting his provisionary power and enabling people to see that it's not about what we have, but what God does with what we have. It's not about what you don't have. It's about the faith that we have to believe what God can do. And so we find ourselves in that situation often, and so did the disciples, which should make you feel maybe just a wee bit better. So Jesus asks the same question he asked before. They're like, okay, well, where are we going to get enough food out here in the wilderness to feed for all them to eat? Jesus says, what, how many loaves of bread do you have? Not what don't you have enough for? What are you lacking? He's like, what do you have? What do you have? They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. Doesn't seem like the difference is enormous between the situation and the 4,000 and the 4,000 men besides women and children being fed, and then the 5,000 being fed. And it's like, wow, what's going on here? Very close, very similar. So Jesus, in verse 35, it says, Jesus told the people to sit down on the ground. I want to point this out because it's a fabulous teaching if we can grab hold of it. In the first major trial on the food, Jesus told them to sit down on the ground. On the second major trial for food, Jesus tells them to sit down on the ground. You and I, every once in a while, have got to heed the words of Jesus. And you know what? Stop. Stop fretting. Stop walking around like a chicken with its head cut off. Stop bouncing back and forth, right? Stop being a Super Bowl in a little maze thing. Slow down. Slow it down. Sit down. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. God is not ignorant to your situation. He's not unaware of your trial. He's not unaware of your frustration. He's right there for you. But sometimes in order to pick up on it and catch it, you gotta just sit down. And in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am the Lord. Some people are like, well, I don't know if that has to do with worship and stillness. Of course it is. Only people that have never experienced that don't get that. Here's the bottom line. Relax. This is not out of God's control. It's not out of his realm. But Dave, you don't understand. No, that is incorrect. I do understand. I'm much meaner than that. I don't care. The reason I don't care is because the issue or the situation is not bigger than God. He who created the universe, who ordained for you to hear his voice. You think he's going to do all that just to go, eh, forget them. Eh, let him just walk off a cliff. See you later. See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile. Let me know. I mean, that is not what's going on. God's message to humanity has been, I am with you. Man's message to God is, I am running away and hiding. Stop. Sit down. Allow the Father, and by allow, I mean chill out and let your faith be active and watch the Father move on your behalf. Watch the miracle of the Red Sea split so that they can cross on dry land. Trust. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Remember, that's in Job. It would have been great if Job would have actually used that. Though God slay you, yet you will trust him. Why? Because he is faithful and he is true. He has never failed you. No, not once. Get it? Okay. All right, let's take a deep breath. Okay, breathing easy. Here you go. Here's your first trivia question. Which epistle? So, okay, this is a letter in the New Testament. Which letter in the New Testament presents an entire chapter on faith? Is it the epistle of 2 Corinthians? Is it Hebrews or is it Galatians? Which epistle presents the entire chapter about faith? Is that 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, or Galatians? Which book is that in? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. So you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Which letter in the New Testament has an entire chapter on faith? Is that 2 Corinthians? Is it Hebrews? Or is it Galatians? I can't give you the reference because then you would get the answer. See how that works? Can't do that. In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website because I'm supposed to do that, and I don't feel like having a pink ping pong ball sailing in my direction this early yet in the year. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to encourage you to go to the website. On the website, there are updated schedules. There is some really cool stuff up there that will be a blessing for you if you read it or if you listen to it. There's audio, there's video, there's also an opportunity to give. As you can tell, as I was whining a little bit about me doing the receipts, the only thing you're going to get, you're not going to get a Lamborghini for giving to the ministry, and you're not going to get a donut. Although you probably should get a donut, but you're not going to get a donut. You're going to get a receipt at the end of the year before January 30th that you can use in regards to deductions for giving to nonprofits. Just that simple. There's nothing more complex than that. That's what it is. But you are also helping us advance the kingdom of God and helping us move it forward and encourage people in the faith, not in the faith, and maybe once in the faith and need to be brought back into the faith. Check it out. There's some cool stuff on there, by the way. There's a couple of new things on there I'm not going to tell you about yet. Go check it out on the website, plus great place to give. Just hit the red donate button. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Exactly. Exactly what I was thinking. How did Jennifer know to play that sound? That's all I want to know. That was my exact
thoughts. I remember the first time I played, it kind of scared me. I jumped a little bit.
That's a classic. All right, folks, there it is. Which letter in the New Testament, which book in the New Testament, which it's fine if you say letter or book, just relax, everybody. Which epistle presents an entire chapter on faith? Is that 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, or Galatians? If you think you know the answer, you can simply call in 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I just think it's wonderful that the Lord has us here. This is the spot that we're supposed to be teaching in as we're moving along in the books. And I just want to say this to everybody going into 2024. Hey, here's a brilliant idea. Expect more in 2024. How about that? Expect more in 2024. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Why? Well, let's look at this. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he thanked God for them. He broke them into pieces and gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. Instead of telling God what we don't have, by the way, he knows our inventory better than us, maybe we can start things by thanking him for what we do have. After all, that breath that you're breathing is not owed to you. And anything subsequently that comes beyond that is still not owed to you. So Jesus takes what he has, did this the exact same way. There's nothing weird about that. He did the exact same thing. Took what he had, didn't complain, didn't whine, thanked God the Father for what he had. Then what did he do? He broke it into pieces so he could share it. It has to remind you of the widow woman who Elijah came across, and she had very little left, and Elijah said, go make me some bread. And she's like, well, we don't have any. He said, go make me some bread. Trust me, I'll take care of it. She makes him the bread. They don't have anything left except for God would never let her run out of oil or bread again because she needed food, and God took care of it because she took care of it by giving away that little bit she had. I'm not telling you to do that to this ministry. I'm telling you the principle of life in Christianity is you take what you have, you're thankful for it, you lift it up to the heavens, you say, thank you, Lord, for what I have, and you share it. In any way, shape, or form you can or need to, that's what you do. That's what Jesus did. He gave it away. Verse 37, they all ate until they were full. And when the scraps were picked up, there were 7 large baskets of food left over. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day in addition to women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home. He got into a boat, crossed over to the region, to Magadan. Here's the bottom line in that process. Ready? Last time, there was a different amount of baskets picked up. This time, there were 7 baskets picked up. And I have looked at and considered all the great theological reasons. And I have determined in my own thinking, that's rubbish. There were 7 baskets left over because... That's why. And it's like you're thinking, wait a minute. No, there's got to be a reason. I'm sure there's a reason. If the Lord wanted you to know specifically, he probably would have told us. But the bottom line is there was left over. That was the whole point. The point is there was so much that God multiplied that there was more left over than they started with. Isn't that the key? There's more left over than when we start with. So instead of you going into this year thinking you're going to scrape by, you're going to survive, you're going to do this, here's one for you. Anticipate and expect more for 2024. Take what you have and be thankful for it. Lift it up before the Lord. Share as the Lord pours it upon your heart. And watch how you will end up with more than you started with. Now, isn't that the right expectation, the right spirit, and the right attitude for the disciples of Jesus Christ? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Do you understand, Dave? You understand? Oh, I do. Don't care. Because whatever it is not bigger than God himself. And he loves you. And stop thinking he's punishing you because you don't have enough of this, that, or whatever, or you have this as a loss or that as a loss. Stop thinking it's all punishment from God. Maybe instead of thinking that way, we should think he's crystallizing our faith for all eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you for doing what you do for us. Isn't that a better spirit, attitude, way to go about that? Certainly. Certainly is, Dave. Yeah, it's a little bit of Three Stooges in there for you. Come on, it's early in the year. All right, the trivia question. All right, trivia. Which letter in the New Testament, which book in the New Testament presents an entire chapter on faith? Is that 2 Corinthians? Is it Hebrews? Or is it Galatians? And your answer is the book of Hebrews is the answer. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, it is often called. And yes, God's coffee, Aunt Deb, Hebrews. He brews. Let's see, he brews. Okay, there you go. That's all it's going to get. Hey, if you're in San Diego, if you're in Dallas, or if you're in Detroit, stick around. Go to hemustincrease.org. Hit the Listen Live button. If you're in Dallas specifically, hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back, and who knows what's coming up next. Only the Lord does.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being honest, right? Because I'll pull from – I'm Jewish. I was trained well, and you pull from multiple directions. It's just one of those things. So I kind of needed to recognize that sometimes I'm obnoxious, and I need to make up for it. And the whole point of me telling you this is sometimes you will do things that doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong, but because you didn't have the right spirit going on when it happened, you need to make up for it. Now, by that, I mean this. So Noelle found out yesterday that she had to get up at 4:30 this morning because the president of quote-unquote the company was coming in because they were doing a remodel, and her section was one of the sections that are being remodeled. So she had to be at work at 6 in order to be there, okay? All right. So now I'm not in the doghouse or anything. I'm just, you know, feeling like I could have done better. So you know what I did? And I'm telling you this for a reason. I got up at 5 in the morning, and I sat with her for about a half hour while she was getting ready, right? And I encouraged her because I knew she was really tired. And then she went to work, and I went back to bed for at least an hour and a half until the dog said, "That's enough out of you. Get up." You know, that was a whole separate thing. The reason that I bring it up is not because I did something brilliant. That's exactly not the case. In fact, the reason that I had to make it up is because I didn't do something brilliant. But it dawned on me that it is okay, or not okay, but it's probably right for you and I when we're in relationships and we do something that's a little far off, or maybe not as authentically Christian as we generally need to be, that we're allowed to make up for it. And so what I was trying to do was communicate with her, "I love you. I'm kind of sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm totally sorry because I'm up at 5 a.m. that I wasn't like nicer about the whole thing." And so whatever happened by getting up at 5 in the morning last night went bye-bye. And my point in making that sharing that with you is simply sometimes we can do things that is a way to say I'm with you without doing a whole bunch, and that will just make some of the dumber things less painful or less dumb.